Hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, March 1st, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
Who are you?
Why, I'm your host, ma'am, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Becky Sherrick Harks, as her affable alter ego, Aunt Becky, is back with more of what makes her the treasured sex writer, essayist, and author of the wildly popular blog Mommy Wants Vodka. This is part two of our conversation for the Erotic Mind podcast series.
And you have no style or sense of fashion.
Oh, snap. But I do know a whole lot about sex. You know, part one of our chat, which appeared last week at this time, can be found in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you have to do is use the site's search function in the sidebar. Type in podcast 186 and presto! But don't forget to use this pound sign when you do your search. And Becky treats us to more fruit of her erotic mind. We'll learn why vacation sex is the best sex there is. For more of Aunt Becky and her sex writing, visit her on her website, mommywantsvodka.com or toywithme.com.
I hope you know that this is a very difficult job, for which you are totally wrong, and if you mess up, my head is on the chopping block.
Boy, this is a tough crowd. Today's podcast is sponsored by the granddaddies of male masturbation toys, the amazing Fleshlight and Fleshjack. For those of you who have never seen one of these brilliant devices, let me describe it to you. It looks like a huge flashlight, thus the very clever names, don't you know? Inside the durable plastic case, there is a soft, fleshy material called Super Skin. And trust me, this stuff is aptly named. It's phenomenal. But that's just the beginning. What makes the Fleshlight and Fleshjack so freaking amazing is that you get to design and personalize just about every aspect of the unit you purchase. Now, what other toy company allows you to do that? Not sure you know what in Sam hell I'm talking about? Well then, it's high time for you to mosey on over to either the Fleshlight or Fleshjack site and make the discovery on your own. Look for the banner in the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com. You'll be so glad you did.
That's not what I asked you. I couldn't have been clearer.
Oops, I think I forgot the question. But anyhow, ladies, here's a tip. This is the perfect gift for your man. You know how I keep talking about the mutual joys and the important information shared when a couple masturbates together, right? Well, this is the ideal masturbation toy for him. Check it out and see for yourself. I know you will agree. Nothing beats a Fleshlight. Okay, on with the show. Aunt Becky, welcome back and thank you again for coming to join us here at drdicksexadvice.com. It's so wonderful that you are here because I was afraid last week as our time was coming to a close that I wouldn't have all the opportunity I needed to plumb the depths, as it were, of Aunt Becky. So here you are, and I'd like to pick up exactly where we left off last week, and we were talking about the kind of writing that you do, and you shared with us two beautiful pieces from that, which I'm still giggling. And I wanted to say that most of the erotica that I read is short stories, and they are exceptionally brief and yet very powerful. And because of their brevity, every word must count. Your work is different in that your blog and your columns are more essay-like. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
And so let's talk about the kind of sex writing that you do. How do you make this happen? How do you build attention, so to speak, in the work that you produce? Or is it just a flow of consciousness kind of thing?
Well, I always have to make sure that I build up to something at the end. Like, you can't just cut off at the end because people will... It has to stop somewhere. Mm-hmm. Because they are essays, but they have to end somewhere. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, tie it all together at the end, otherwise it looks funny. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, if you just end... It flows wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe how it ends, but it has to end somewhere.
Right.
Obviously, erotica flows a little differently because the end is obviously
after
a little bit more defined. But my end, it has a definite close. It's usually a punchline.
Right.
Similar kind of end, but in a little different, more exciting way.
Yeah, right. When I was in seminary, I took a course on homiletics, and the wisdom that I got in that course was when you're giving a sermon, you tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. And that's how you build a sermon. And I've done the same kind of thing in a lot of the writing that I do. I tell people what I'm going to tell them. I tell them that, and then I tell them what I told them.
That's pretty much it. You have to kind of, you know, your last paragraph has to, you got to have a punch in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're going to make somebody laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It has to, you know, somehow all build up to a joke or a conclusion.
Right.
You know, if you're telling a story, it has to build up to some kind of logical conclusion.
Right.
And you have to, if you're not, you have to tie up elements of it. You know, if you're having some kind of revelation, there has to be some kind of elements that you're picking in, you know, putting in from the other parts of your story.
Right.
It all has to flow together well. Usually I do it pretty stream of consciously,
mm-hmm.
but I often will have, especially with my Toy With Me stuff, I try to keep it as cohesive as I can.
Right.
Because, you know, you're going over there for a reason. On my main blog, it's different because, you know, I can let my hair down there. But on my other, you know, I try to be more, you know, I want to make sure everybody gets what they want over at Toy With Me.
Right. So do you ever finish a piece and then read over it and say, gee, I need to make this more smutty or this is way too smutty?
Occasionally. Usually I do a decent job of putting the words in there. Occasionally I'll read over it, like, while I was preparing for this, I was reading some of my old stuff and being like, damn, that was awesome. I hadn't even remembered that I included some visuals in there that I hadn't remembered that I had made. And I laughed at them because they were pretty intense.
Cool.
So that's a good thing.
So defining art is difficult, since the perceptions of what is erotic and what is art actually fluctuate with time and culture. The same is true about words. Would you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. Somebody called my writing, I guess. I always call it blogging. So I have a hard time saying I'm a writer,
mm-hmm.
considering myself a blogger. So I'm working on that transition right now. So somebody called it art the other day, and I was like, really? I don't think anybody has ever said that about me before. I've never thought of myself as an artist before.
Well, you are. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I wanted you for this series, is because you are an artist. You are creating with words and in a unique sort of way, it seems to me. In fact, you are the first blogger on this whole series, so I'm really delighted. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that.
Well, there you go.
Wow, now I'm blushing. If you could see me, you would see I never blush, and I'm actually blushing. It is a feat to get me to blush.
Well, stick around, girl. So obviously, some words are more erotically charged than others, but even this is culturally and historically determined. Would you not agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, of course.
So in your long history on the Internet, and it has been a long history on the Internet, we discovered that last week.
Yes.
Have you found that you gravitate toward using some terms now that you wouldn't have before, or that you used to use terms before that you don't use now?
You know, I have tried to... I guess mostly I've just tried to tighten up what I say, and I've tried to become more of a writer.
Uh-huh.
And I've tried to become a little bit more PC.
Mm-hmm.
not in my visuals, but you know, I've stopped saying words that, you know, that I may have once said for the shock value.
Right.
You know, retarded.
Yeah.
Never a word that I use very often,
yeah.
but a word that, you know, used to be a little bit more commonly used.
Yeah. It's funny, though, how you know, life circumstances makes us take a look at our vocabulary.
Yeah, I don't, and it doesn't offend me to hear other people say it, but that one, you see enough other people get flack for that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Pretty much anything else I'm okay with. I usually try to come up with a little bit more creative ways to say, you know, penis or vagina. Because
you just can't use them over and over again, because those are the worst words ever.
If you're talking about them enough, you kind of want to, and if you're trying to be funny, you know, you can't say vagina all the time. You got to have other things to say.
Exactly.
So that's kind of what I do, is I try to think of different ways to do it.
So so the purpose of traditional erotica is to arouse and titillate. However, your sex writing differs in as much as it is presented for the purposes other than to excite sexual passion. You seem to have an agenda of exposing the absurdity of sex and mommyhood. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you elaborate on that? I mean, why that? As opposed to writing something that is going to make your naughty bits stand up and take notice.
Make them tingle. You know, I don't take a whole lot seriously, and I don't know that I'd be very good at erotic writing. I love erotic writing. I really do. I find that much more titillating than a porno movie scene in a movie. So, in terms of arousal factors, I totally appreciate erotic writing. But I just don't think I'd be very good at it. And I like to make people laugh. So it's a combination of, you know, making... I realized that I had a way of being able to put these words together that made people laugh and comfortable. And then, you know, also... you know, kind of gross them out at the same time, which that's kind of a feat. So being able to do all those together, that's kind of what I get a kick out of doing, is being able to do all those. I'm sure it's cost me a lot of readers, but that's okay.
That's right. It is okay. So could you read for us again?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
There's almost nothing not full of the awesome about going on vacation, especially if I can leave my cartoon-watching, diaper-pooing crotch parasites anywhere that I'm not. Not that I don't love the little booger factories. It's just that I don't need to love on them every moment of every day. And if that means to going to see exotic places like Los Angeles, Reno, and Detroit, well, so be it. I always like a change in my incredibly dull life, especially when it means I get to go to stay in a hotel. Now, I'm going to be straight with you here. I like the more upscale hotels, not the fleabag ones. Because really, who sets out to stay in a place that has obvious jizz stains on the handle of the dresser? Don't answer that. For the love of all that is holy, do not answer that. When we travel, we stay at the middle to upper end places, primarily because a couple of weeks ago, my husband, the Daver, and I took our first trip that we'd taken in damn near 5 years together. So it's safe to say we can spring for it at that rate. So there we are, luxuriating in our $38 cheeseburger that tastes remarkably like it was ordered from Denny's. Just the two of us alone for the first time in years, and it's like bliss. The television isn't blaring annoying kids' TV. No one wants juice or a bottle. No one has squabbled over a toy or the control of the computer in days. I can bathe alone for hours if I want to without the hot water running out. I can nap whenever I want to without having to secure babysitting. I can read a freaking book for the love of all that is holy. Not only do we get to sit and not have to do anything if we don't want to, we get to indulge in probably the best part of staying in a hotel. Hotel sex. Sex in a hotel is almost always better than sex at home in my book. It's not really different, but it is. I mean, it's not like I get to grow a different vagina or something, but it's just, there's just something hot about getting down and dirty in a new place. It's another bed for one, so there's some getting used to being in a different position you're not quite accustomed to. Plus, you're just more relaxed because, well, it's vacation. So, unless you have this cross-indexed and color-coded agenda and have every day planned down to the precise millisecond, you've really got some time to really let go and let loose. Quickies have their time and place, but sometimes it's awesome not to have to worry that a child is going to wander in mid-hump. Not that I would know anything about that. Probably my biggest adversary during the sex is the wet spot. Don't try and look all shy, people, because you know what I'm talking about. Love the love juice all you want, because it certainly had its merits, aside from smelling remarkably like dishwasher detergent. But there's very little I hate more than doing battle with it. Probably the only thing I enjoyed about using condoms. Because no matter where I try to swivel my hips, it never seems to matter. The wet spot always manages to find its way onto my side of the bed. Immediately post-coitus, fine. Whatever. When you're basking in the endorphin glow, I wouldn't care if I were laying in a puddle of baby elephant poo. But 3 hours later, when I'm fast asleep and happen to roll over into that cold, sticky pile, you bet your ass I'm not beaming with happiness. No, I'm cursing my lack of aim, the daver, semen, and everyone I've ever met. I'm not a very happy person when I've been rudely awakened. But in a hotel, I'm not above using the gigantic stack of sex towels as sex towels, where at home, I'd sooner chew my toenails off. Because those towels are my towels at home, and I'm the one who ends up washing them. Even better, at a hotel, no matter what kind of mess I make, I don't have to clean it up. I can simply strip the bed. I'm not cruel, people. And I always leave cash in the room for the housekeepers. And have the housekeeper remake it with fresh sheets. There's nothing about this that sucks. When the humping ends, and eventually it does end, a simple phone call can bring me another overpriced cheeseburger. I know that some people equate romance with strawberries and champagne, but not the Daver and I. On our wedding day, we had a 3 or so hour break between our ceremony and the reception, so we went back to the hotel. They thoughtfully left us a plate of wilted chocolate-covered strawberries and some champagne, but we quickly ordered some bacon cheeseburgers from room service. Because why have romance when you can have meat? Plus, it was lunchtime, and strawberries, well, full of deliciousness, don't exactly fill you up. So cheeseburger break in bed, prepared by somebody who is not me. So while waiting for cheeseburgers, there's always hotel porn to surf. Sure, it might cost you your mortgage payment, but that's a small price to pay. To be able to watch midges take Manhattan or sorority sluts suck cock while laying in bed. Burgers and porn is kind of my happiest of happy places, since it doesn't really matter if I drip ketchup all over the sheets like the slob that I am. Nothing about this sucks, except the sorority sick chicks. Well, almost nothing. When I get to the hotel, I notice that I've spent $600 in burgers and $900 in pornography. Maybe that sucks a little. Which is probably why we go on vacation every 5 or so years.
That's grand.
Excellent. Sorry, we're getting a storm coming through here.
Ah, really?
Yes, I can hear it. It's going outside.
Mm. So, the authors that I've interviewed so far for this series have said that sometimes they write for female audiences and sometimes they write for male audiences, and sometimes that is different. They approach those things differently. Do you have a particular audience in mind when you write?
I normally think that the audience that I am writing to now, especially because most of the readers that I have follow me from my blog, they're probably coming for the humor.
Mm-hmm.
So I write to be humorous, or I write to be honest. It's one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect that they're looking for Aunt Becky or Becky Sharacarks, depending on where I am. I expect that that's what they're looking for.
Right.
And that's both.
So has anyone categorized your sex writing as pornographic?
No, actually. I don't think so.
Well, that's good. Anybody denigrate you for the work that you've done? Like said, you know, too bad you don't put your talented mind and fingers to, you know, writing children's stories or something?
I think some people weren't really entirely pleased when I came over here because they thought that, you know, it's very much a think of the children kind of thing. What, you know, what are my children going to think when they hear that, you know, oh, the Daver took me to buy a sex toy, mm-hmm. or I talked about my vagina, or, you know, right. I apparently, because I'm a mother, I'm not allowed to have a life or a sex life
right.
or a vagina. So,
or if you do, you're supposed to keep it to yourself.
Apparently, that's what parents are supposed to do. I don't think that's a healthy thing.
Honestly, I don't think it's healthy for the parents. I don't think it's healthy for the kids, basically.
I don't agree. I agree with you entirely, and that's why I write about it. I don't specifically go into detail about my sex life with my husband because I don't really want my kids to have to think about that someday, but I don't think that I should have to hide it or that I like to have, you know, sex or that I have a vagina. You know, I don't, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know?
So, you mentioned a little while ago that you do read erotica. Does that impact on the stuff that you write?
Not really. No, I usually keep that kind of stuff a little separate. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I guess I do include a little bit of it, especially when I'm writing about, you know, stuff about when I'm, what I am going to have sex.
Right. Would you encourage others to be as confessional as you are being in their writing, and even if it's for their own consumption? I suspect that it could be very therapeutic for a lot of people.
Absolutely. I think, especially if it's for their own consumption, I don't think that, I do not think that anybody should get on the internet and bash people or talk smack about other people, because I don't think that's healthy, and I don't think that that's, unless they're going to make it private, I don't think that that's probably a smart thing to do, but I think that being confessional and being, having to, you know, reach within you and write it all out and try to figure it all out, how you're thinking and why you're thinking and why you feel a way, and put it all out there, and not only that, but organize it.
Right.
I think that would does more for me than any therapy.
I'll bet.
Ever could do. I totally think that people should do that. Absolutely.
Is the kind of sex writing that you do empowering to you?
Absolutely. I try to include articles not just about sex, but about being female and about being empowering, because I know that I do reach a large audience of women, and I want women to feel empowered and to embrace it, and you know, a lot of women, especially women, you know, who have kids and sometimes forget themselves, men too, I'm sorry,
right.
Parents, anybody, people forget to they lose themselves, and you know, I do it all the time, I'm terrible about it, I forget to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And I talk about that, you know, and I think that I want other people to try to remember to take care of themselves too.
Right.
So, absolutely.
Right.
I think it's very empowering. I think that all that I do, I find it very empowering. Even the trolls make me feel empowered. I can delete them. Love it.
So, what do you look for in the work of other erotic artists, writers, or sex writers?
I like people who make me laugh, people who make me, they make me, I guess people who make me, you know, tingle without making me feel kind of gross.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's hard to differentiate.
That's right.
I like to be, have some stuff left up to the imagination.
Uh-huh.
Without, I don't know. I don't want to have to, you know, be neck and neck in the same way I wouldn't want to watch a porno.
Mm-hmm.
And have to be, you know, the crotch shot.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy a little lingering up to the imagination, you know.
Right.
I think that's very arousing, to be able to just, you know, a little delicious imagination. I don't know.
Okay.
Hard to describe it.
Who are your inspirations? And if you have any sexual heroes, who are they?
Sexual heroes. My inspirations. I don't know. I love, as far as inspiration, or my heroes, or my inspiration, I guess, probably Dave Barry.
Oh, good. Interesting.
But he's not my sex
hero.
Inspiration, because I don't even want to think about him having sex. He's just, like, awesome. I don't know who my sex heroes are.
Okay, I just throw that out there.
Just never thought about it.
Good. What does the future hold for you in your work?
Well, I think 2010 is the year of my empire. I am building my empire. So...
I love it.
I'm trying to expand my freelancing thing. I'm looking around. I'm trying to to see where I can go with my writing. I'm going to freelance some stuff, and I have some agents, actually, and a book proposal.
Good. Wow, wonderful. Good for you.
Yeah, we'll see where I go. I'm positive that I will go somewhere. It's probably nowhere I will ever think I'm going, but that's the way it always works.
Right.
And I'm good with that.
Good. So, do you have any advice for the novice writer, the novice sex writer, like a columnist or an essayist like yourself?
Just to keep trying. I think that every day, I think any writer needs to do is to write every single day. You have to keep up with your craft. I mean, not you know, pages and pages and words and words and words, but you got to keep focused on it and keep focused and always try to polish your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not overthink what you're doing, but just read other people's stuff and get ideas and always keep what you're going to do tomorrow in the back of your head for today.
That's great advice. That's great advice. Right. Good. Well, listen, before we conclude then, could you give us your website address again and walk us around a bit?
Sure. My main website is Mommy Wants Vodka. It's www.mommywantsvodka.com. I'm also on Twitter under Mommy Wants Vodka, and pretty much everywhere else you can find Mommy Wants Vodka. I have taken over the internet on Mommy Wants Vodka, and my main site is there under my Aunt Becky's Band of Merry Pranksters. The first thing you'll find is Aunt Becky's Haunts, and that's where you'll find me. I also write over on Toy With Me. That's where my more erotic stuff is. There's also a number of other columnists there that are awesome. So I advise you all to check them out.
Cool.
Because they are awesome. So I thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun.
Oh, it was great. It was absolutely great. And I'm certainly glad that we persevered in our efforts to get together because we are the richer for the experience.
Yes. Yes, this is great.
Good.
My first podcast or first Skyping session is great.
Excellent. Now we won't be able to stop you. You're going to be able to do your own podcast on Mommy Wants Vodka. I love it.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, honey. Be well.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
What a delightful show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Fleshlight and Fleshjack. Say, guys, have you been looking for the perfect gift for yourself? A gift that will give you hours of fun and pleasure and never run out of batteries? Well, I have just the thing for you. Once you've tried a Fleshlight, you'll never again settle for second best.
Okay. You think my clothes are hideous? I get it.
Actually, around here, you don't need any clothes at all. You know, all you guys out there who keep complaining to me about your short fuse? Well, here's a tip for you. Being a great lover, being able to control your orgasmic response, and to last for as long as you'd like, takes practice. Sure, you can learn to last longer by simply using your hand, but now there's an even more effective way to train yourself for sexual stamina and endurance with a partner. Allow me to introduce you to the Endurance Jack. It's just one of the fine designs from Fleshlight. It comes with the stamina insert, which has extra large bumps and a tight canal. Just a little practice with this baby, and it will help you last longer, gain control over your ejaculatory response, and avoid untimely climax. Once you've accomplished this with an endurance jack, you'll have all the skills you need to last longer with a partner. And remember, these fine products are made in the good old U.S. of A. Look for the Fleshjack banner right there in the sidebar of DrDickSexAdvice.com.
You know what they say, tiny man, huge ego.
Hey, I resemble that remark. Listen, one last thought. I hope you are also following my two other interview series, which appear on Wednesdays. One is called Sex Education, where I converse with prominent practitioners, educators, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles. And we investigate the world of fetish sex and kink. The other is called Sex Wisdom, Here, I chat with researchers, educators, clinicians, pundits, and philosophers who are making news and reshaping how we look at our sexual selves. I can assure you that these conversations will be well worth your time. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously, under Health, subcategory Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.